98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Father's Day does not seem to come with the fanfare or pressure of Mother's Day. It is proof that simple pleasures often define simple creatures. A few beers, a compelling sporting event, a few hours of solitude, and most of us are all good. But not this year. This year, I would like to not work on Father's Day, so I'm asking the Jazz for a victory tonight, allowing the Western Conference Finals to begin on Tuesday. I would like two negative COVID-19 tests from Chris Paul, meaning the star point guard won't miss a second of the biggest playoff series we've seen in over a decade. I would like our college teams to actually win something while cheating. Otherwise, what's the point? I would like the Diamondbacks to come out and admit what seems pretty obvious now, that they were and are tanking a baseball season, and I would very much like them to continue, because that team needs a number one overall pick very badly, just like Kyler Murray and DeAndre Ayton. I'd like Bryson DeChambeau to be paired with Brooks Koepka in the final round of the U.S. Open, and then I'd like Bryson to change his name to Bison, just like Eldrick became Tiger. And finally, I want to break 80 and be off the course in 2 hours. I would like my steak medium well without anybody frowning in my direction. I'd like beer and ice cream, and I sincerely hope all fathers in the valley feel as blessed as I do, even if you get nothing and like it. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by great friends at Chapman BMW. You can test drive the ultimate driving machine at the newly renovated Chapman BMW at Chandler, at Chapman BMW on Camelback. Shop online at ChapmanBMW.com.
I can get on board with just about everything you wish for.
Except that steak medium well. I knew it.
Why don't you just, why don't you just order a wallet and eat that? Why don't you just go back to the kitchen and kick the chef in the groin? Why don't you do these things? Medium well.
I knew it.
What is wrong with you people?
I don't know why there is such a condescension for how a man likes his meat to be cooked. I can't help it.
See, what? I'll tell you my steak preference and I'll get the opposite reaction from you. I'm a medium rare guy.
I tell you,
Sarah, that's the only way to eat it.
Yes.
Medium rare.
I once took a girl on a date. This was Greg Luzinski's cousin, by the way, the old White Sox slugger. And she ordered a burger rare, and it scared the hell out of me. I'm like, this woman is a vampire.
Well, that's a burger.
Right, right.
You don't do that.
No.
Right, blood dripping out the side.
Was that the last date with Luzinski?
It actually was.
What, you weren't into her mouth full of blood?
It kind of tripped me out a little bit, to be honest with you.
Tastes like copper.
Yeah, it would just, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I got. That's all I need for Father's Day, and I'm cool.
It wasn't that long of a list.
It kind of was.
I mean, I don't know if Bryson's going to change his name.
The Bison would work, wouldn't it? What he looks like.
He is a big dude. Let's start with the main focus there.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Paul and two negative COVID-19 tests. Thank you very much.
I don't want to work on Sunday either.
No.
Even though as somebody who is really getting antsy to watch the Phoenix Suns play basketball again, I really want that next game to be on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Right. We had to work on Memorial Day, so we missed that because of the Phoenix. And no one's complaining. It's not like we're digging ditches. But I would really prefer to not work on Father's Day. That would be nice. I'd like that.
It would be.
Yeah.
A day off would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. So if all this happens and we get our way, Tuesday night would be a perfect time to start the Sun series. When they do get on the back on the basketball court, people are going to be paying attention, Vinny. I don't know if you saw this story, but according to a Twitter map
from I think it was Bet Online AG, I think it was.
Yeah, they released a map created by using recent geotag Twitter data, tracking official NBA team hashtags, and the data showed 17 states in this country are rooting for the Phoenix Suns. 17. More than any other basketball team left.
I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt the validity of any of these state maps, regardless of subject. There's at least a little methodology to this one. Instead of somebody telling me what Arizona's favorite fast food place is, that I never believe those maps. But that being said, I don't doubt it. We've talked a little bit about the Suns' profile nationally. Mm-hmm. They've always been viewed as an entertaining team when they've been good. It is a team that's never won a championship. I think that lends a lot of casual fans or fans whose teams are not still in the playoffs to lend support maybe to the Phoenix Suns. I think we've talked about the Chris Paul factor, that Chris Paul is highly respected in basketball circles, and for a guy to have the career that he's had without a finals appearance seems like a travesty. I think people are pulling for him. Mm-hmm. Monty Williams is the easiest head coach to pull for, not only because of who he is, but because of what he's been through. So I don't necessarily completely dismiss that,
mm-hmm.
that particular
no,
map.
Yeah, listen, I'm
they're not
with you.
They're not a super team,
mm-hmm.
so they don't have that
right.
negative attached
yep.
to them.
I'm going to say that I agree with you. I think that anything related to Twitter, it's Twitter is very often an echo chamber. This is the truth. Less than 8% of the United States are active Twitter users. 10% of users create 80% of the content. This guy says here at the end of it, never confuse Twitter for America. But the sentiment I do agree with you on, because I think you've got the story of Devin Booker. And I think Devin Booker is kind of he's got his own kind of energy. And the Chris Paul story, the player who's never been to the NBA Finals, the Monty Williams story. Mm-hmm. The tale of the Phoenix Suns that have never won a championship in 50 plus years of existence.
Yeah.
There's a freshness to this story. And it almost seems like for the longest time, things that happened in Phoenix or by Phoenix helped the good of basketball without Phoenix Suns fans actually benefiting, period. For instance, Jerry Colangelo, through the course of the way his teams played and the way he was viewing NBA basketball, was pivotal in getting the NBA out of the defensive-minded muck that it was stuck in the early 90s and the late 80s. And they changed the rules, largely because of him and some of his ideas that he helped push through. And that laid the foundation for the last 20 years of the NBA, which has been much more entertaining to watch. Then you got the 7 seconds or less Suns that did not win a championship, that never played for a championship. And that team started a revolution. Steve Nash, that team became Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. They cashed mm-hmm. in. It's about time the Phoenix Suns cash in on something.
I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of basketball fans around the country can get on board with that too.
I think if you look at other, what are other Cinderella stories here in basketball? Are the Utah Jazz really a Cinderella story? I don't know about that. The Clippers?
They've never won one. They've been to two finals. The Clippers are in a major market.
And they've got the Clipper thing to them, so maybe...
They're the inferiority complex team of L.A.
Right.
They're the little brother of Los Angeles, and they're a super team.
Right.
They're out the window.
They're out the window. The Milwaukee Bucks, maybe a little bit. Small market Milwaukee, Giannis, if they break through and take down Brooklyn, maybe they've got some of that to them. The Hawks, certainly. But I don't think anybody really touches the Cinderella story narrative like the Phoenix Suns do.
Well, especially considering where all these franchises were 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Hawks certainly weren't very good 2 years ago, but I don't think anybody has elevated in that time period as much as the Phoenix Suns have.
Yeah.
They were a 19-win team 2 seasons ago with a lot of the same players on the team. 2 years ago, the Atlanta Hawks were 29-53. Then they won 20 games the year after last year. So that's a pretty good, pretty good jump for them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that is.
Nate McMillan can coach, apparently. Brooklyn's out of the question. Philly, I don't know.
Mm.
They're one of the traditional basketball powers and one of the glory franchises, but
yeah.
I don't know about their national reach.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Phoenix Suns measure stack up really well as far as that goes. And, you know, and also, I don't know if you would call the Phoenix Suns a team that has had to deal with a lot of adversity this year. They're a team that's remained relatively healthy. But I do think what Chris Paul has endured in these playoffs it sort of hammers that point home, maybe to outsiders, that, man, they've had it rough. That poor guy, you know, I mean, because you heard that from some of the national media who had reached out to Chris Paul after the COVID-19 test. There was a lot of empathy being showered on Chris Paul just for all the hard luck he's had to deal with. His lack of playoff success has rarely, if ever, been about anything he's done wrong.
Unless you blame him for getting injured.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly. And that's really an unfortunate thing, that guys who do get injured a lot get blamed for it. Oh, you're injury prone. Oh, really? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. But you're right. In terms of adversity, you know, the Suns had their share, but I don't think it was overwhelming this year. I think, you know, for a large part of the season, it was the Suns and the Jazz that had remained the healthiest, and then Donovan Mitchell missed substantial time with the ankle injury at the end of the year. So the Suns of all the teams standing have had less to deal with there. Yes, they had their COVID issues. They had, you know, three games postponed in a row early in the season. They had several players in the health and safety protocols. Most teams dealt with that. You know, they're important players. They're key all-star level players were healthy for most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That just alone feels different when you consider that in Suns history, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. Then you've got the crowd factor. Okay, the Suns and four guy. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you saw this, but
is there another update on him?
Well, yeah, it was Richard Jefferson on Twitter acknowledged one of the things we talked about. He put on Twitter, "This might set a bad precedent." Devin Booker responded to him by saying, "Aw." Aww.
That's just Book being legendary again.
That is Book being legendary again.
He doesn't care at all what Richard Jefferson has to say on that subject.
No, he really doesn't. He really, really doesn't. But it is a worthwhile topic. It really is, because you think about how some people are going to interpret that this is really, we're going to fly in a guy for beating the bejesus out of a dude. Well, yeah, under the circumstance, yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do.
Look,
he's a reluctant badass, man. We can get behind that.
It's not like he went to Ball Arena looking for a fight.
No. And I said this before. I'm going to say it again because I think this is a really profound point to make, and I don't get many of these. If you look over the course of Hollywood and movies and the way this country likes to propaganda itself and market itself, this guy is exactly the way we like to paint ourselves as a country. We're not imperialistic. We don't colonize. We don't go over and start wars to steal people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are reluctant. But you pick on us, and you're going to get something you don't want, right?
Don't poke the bear.
Right. It's right. It's like the old saying, you lead with respect and you can leave with your backside. And that's it's kind of like, this is the way we like to fashion ourselves as a country, that we're good, decent, mind our own business people, but inside there's a killer.
Well, yeah, and looking at the history of Hollywood and how many movies there have been with that theme, people love them.
They love them. Love them.
Charles Bronson and Death Wish.
Right.
Bob Odenkirk.
Think about, yes, just, yeah.
Nobody. John Wick.
That it's the You're right. The film, they're just full of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Of people who've been pushed just a little too far. And when you do, holy hell is unleashed upon you. John Rambo. Not Gambo.
Denzel Washington and The Equalizer.
It's over, Johnny. Nothing is over. Nothing.
So, yeah, so this is going to be fun. It's all sort of now kind of, it feels like it's all kind of coming to a home stretch now. You know what I mean? It feels like we're halfway to a championship. 8 more victories are required. And now come a couple of things that are going to crystallize everything for us. The opponent and the status of Chris Paul. And, man, yes. I really hope the status of Chris Paul is what we hope it is.
Yeah, tomorrow will be the update. Don't know what time that update will occur, but at that time when the update comes out, we will know when the Phoenix Suns will play their next game.
Mm-hmm.
Can we agree? Look, if Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns get good news tomorrow or release good news tomorrow, that doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't mean they're going to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But can we agree that that should be the last issue that they have to swerve out of the way of?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be nice.
But I get the feeling that it's not going to be the case. I get the feeling that this is going to be part of everyone's story from here to the very end of this whole thing. And I think the teams that get to the NBA Finals, it's going to be like, can you believe we got here? And the team that wins it, it's going to be, there's going to be a special kind of satisfaction after this, because the last 5 weeks of the NBA season, when the Suns were playing four games a week, everyone was playing four games a week. I'm like, this is not normal. This is a lot of basketball compressed. And they had to because of all the cancellations in the first half.
Sure. It honestly, in terms of weekly workload, maybe there was more of those four-game weeks than in normal years. But you see those pop up from time to time.
Yep.
In a regular season.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, about tonight's game, Utah on the ropes, down 3-2 to the Clippers. You know, we're all rooting for the Jazz to handle their business tonight, to extend this series, give the Suns a little bit more time on the Chris Paul front. But Ben Anderson, who covers the Jazz for KSL in Salt Lake City, joined Doug and Wolf today, did not paint a very bright picture, at least in terms of how he sees it for the Jazz tonight.
Well, unfortunately, they're not very healthy. I mean, the fact that Donovan Mitchell's working towards a game-time decision, I don't know if I've actually heard that description of
I haven't either.
Before. If I'm working towards a coin toss on whether I'm going to play or not, I'm not sure that's necessarily a good sign, but of course, Jazz fans are going to be happy if Mike Conley can return. But at this point, I mean, after the loss on Wednesday night at home, when you heard Kawhi Leonard was going to be out, and the Jazz felt like they had all the momentum back in the series, and then they still lost, and it's clear Donovan Mitchell's not playing anywhere close to 100%. I think they felt, I think they feel like their playoff hopes are shattered a little bit, so you guys might want to start getting ready for that Sunday game.
Yeah, and that very well could be the case. I like the way you put it. If you're working towards a coin flip on whether or not you're going to play, it doesn't sound very good. I had never heard that terminology used either. Progressing towards being a game time decision. That doesn't sound very good.
Doesn't sound very promising, right? And this is going to be a fascinating game because it's the Clippers, and it's a closeout game, and it's going to be the first time the Clippers have had a full house all season long.
That's right. Yeah, because the June 15th was the end of the restrictions in Southern California. Yep. So, they will have a full house.
And
say goodbye to those cardboard cutouts at Staples Center.
Right. And then on top of that, I can't wait to see what the energy looks like in Atlanta this evening. That's a closeout game for that Hawks team.
And I don't know, 5 days ago, I don't think anybody expected them to be in a closeout game in this series at all.
No. And that's the one thing that I'm really looking forward to, as much as anything, just getting back and hearing what it's like inside that. And I know you are as well. Being inside that arena and hearing where this thing goes.
Yeah, I think it's going in one direction. I know we both had doubts going into the second series about would the energy level be maintained or increased by Suns fans, because you didn't have that Laker factor. There was no beat LA chance. They took it to a different level. I expect that to be the case moving forward. We had Jay Crowder on yesterday, and he kind of talked about the fans, not necessarily at Phoenix Suns Arena, but the turnout in Denver.
No, it was crazy. In a playoff game, it was really probably the most fans I've ever seen on the road travel, like in Philly Arena. I feel a road team arena out. So it was definitely special, a special moment. I took it in as well, just as Chris did. I just took that moment in because I knew how rare it is. So it was definitely great to be a part of.
One thing we didn't talk about on that whole story, Bick, could you imagine, I mean, earlier this postseason, I think you had the subject of one of your Bickley blasts was, don't sell your tickets to Laker fans.
Yeah.
And there were Laker fans in attendance, certainly not an overwhelming number. There was an overwhelming number of Suns fans. Flip that. If the Denver Nuggets fans had taken over Phoenix Suns Arena that way, wouldn't you just be like beside yourself?
Yes. Yes, it would be.
Completely depressed and crestfallen over that feeling?
Yeah.
That's one thing that they're there. Another thing that they swept you. And the third thing, again, going back to the Suns and four guy, they inflicted physical damage on a guy wearing a Nuggets jersey. That was just a beatdown on three levels.
I am getting killed for my medium well steak preference, by the way, online.
Can't you just leave the man alone?
I'm getting killed for it. My buddy John Deanna, former coworker of mine, quote, anything more than medium rare isn't really steak anymore. You might as well just throw a catcher's mitt into the microwave and gnaw on
Thank
it.
Thank you, John.
That's why God invented A1, man. Now I'm going to get killed for that even more.
Oh, no.
I'm going to get killed for that even more.
Stop it.
You know
just
what
stop
I do love?
The
best steak sauce by far. Can you believe we're talking about food and Carlin's not here?
He's missed. We'll have to tape this and send it to him.
The chimichurri sauce.
Oh, I love that.
That's good. Oh, mercy, is that good.
You put that on your medium well steak, do you?
Yes.
I'm going to be a devil's advocate here a little bit. Medium well isn't like you're having a well-done steak. It's still got a little bit of red there,
still
or pink,
no.
or whatever you call it.
Still no, no,
you're wrong. Again,
still
Jesse.
No.
Okay. I'm not saying I like it. I'm just kind of trying to defend Dan a little bit because it's not the worst thing in the world.
It is.
Oh, it's quite look, delicious to me. But it's
everybody has their food preferences.
Mm-hmm.
But there are. This is one that you've touched on that does anger people.
Yeah, some people like chicken dark meat. I can't stand it. It's too gamey, and I love chicken, but it's got to be white chicken breast kind of.
I like
stuff.
I like both, but. Mm-hmm. Only recently did I come to appreciate more of the dark meat. It's juicier. Too gamey.
We can do food hot takes.
If Carlin is listening online.
He's not.
I'm sure he'd be. He's probably calling in to get involved in this.
He's going to call it, or he's going to tweet out just in all capital letters, how do you not stir the soup at a buffet?
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, he did tweet out. Did you see it?
His picture of him eating snow cones on his vacation.
Yes.
He is a wild man.
He's still been pretty active on Twitter this week.
He is a wild man. I can tell you that's the truth.
What'd you do? I ate some snow cones.
Ooh, are they all eating out of the same snow cone?
Ooh.
That is wild in the year 2021.
Yeah, that's a good point.
As long as you're using different spoons.
They are. They are different spoons.
Win tickets to the first Suns home Western Conference Finals game in over 10 years. Just text TICKET to 620-620 for your chance to score the hottest tickets in town. That's TICKET to 620-620. Coming up next, ASU football potentially in some hot water, although the details are still being brought to light. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The level of outrage that could come if it's proven to be true by the fact that several college public officials have commented on the record about ASU's situation. You never, ever, ever see a coach or an athletic director from another school commenting on the record about a school's potential NCAA violations. And yet we've seen it three times with the ASU situation in the last 24 hours. The Notre Dame athletic director, the Oregon State athletic director, and the Stanford football coach have all made public comments. And that tells you what the level of outrage would be if it's proven that this stuff is true and the ASU was just flaunting, public health orders during a once-in-a-century pandemic.
Yeah, that's John Wilner from the Mercury News. He was on with the Burns and Gambo yesterday talking about the level of outrage. I don't know, maybe the level of jealousy.
Yeah, a little of both. Certainly some of both. As we've said, I think we've laid this story out there pretty well. I think there's some things about it that look like it might be real tricky. There's some things about it that might expedite how fast the NCAA attacks us. There's a chance that ASU might just put their head down and plow forward and ignore this and not comment on this. And there may be no adjudication from the NCAA. And Herm Edwards might coach to the end of his contract. And that might be the story here. But what I do also think in the short term is going to happen is there's going to be some divisiveness to if you're going to say it the way they do in England, there's going to be some divisiveness around the football program. Already it's happening. Here, a dude tweeted me this earlier today after we talked very, very logically and objectively about it. Quote, I'm listening to your bleep opinions about ASU football. Why don't you pour a little gas on the fire? Why don't you get both sides of the story prior to commenting? Just more fake news.
We got those comments on the Burns and Gambo show.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like you guys want them to get in trouble.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why would we want that?
No, yeah, that's that's not what that any of us are at.
That's not how this goes.
It's a pretty basic thing. If they broke the rules, then there's penalties to be paid. I don't think differently because it's a program that I root for. I know that might be foreign to some people who root for a certain team down south. I get it.
Uh-huh. Right. That's right. So there's that, but, and here's the other thing too. The one thing that John Wilner said, and I do think John Wilner is really dialed in, and he rarely says anything inflammatory without really having, a lot of knowledge behind it, but there are reasons why, quantifiable reasons why ASU has recruited better. And part of that is investment. Part of it's better strategy. Part of it's better recruiters. Part of it is a big part of it is USC being way, way down. And so that is jealousy to me. If you've got other coaches yapping about ASU's recruiting in terms of suspicions, unless they're hearing something from kids, that's jealousy. A lot of it is. But John Wilner is absolutely accurate when he came out and said that it's very rare that you've had three people, quote, be quoted on the record when all we know is one side of the story.
That's all we know right now is one side of the story. That one side of the story right now kind of creates a picture of blatant irresponsibility. But don't think for a minute, we don't know all the details yet, but there's been a lot of talk about a whistleblower. When a dossier of pictures and text messages and emails and all of these things show up anonymously and people are pointing their fingers at a certain individual who used to be on the coaching staff, you don't think it would be and I'm not even saying he's responsible for it, but whoever was responsible for dropping off all that information, you don't think they're lobbing phone calls to opposing coaches and programs in the conference?
Yeah. Oh, well, yes. Yes.
Hey, Coach Shaw at Stanford, listen to this. I got a doozy for you about ASU.
Uh-huh. Of course. Of course. But again, it's etiquette if you're a coach at another school to stay out of someone else's business. You don't think so?
Yes.
If it's only one side at this point
publicly,
in time,
you know what they're saying behind closed doors about ASU's program and what ASU's saying behind closed doors about every other program in their conference?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you knew this, Bic. Recruiting is a nasty business.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I think it tends not to bring out the best in people.
Okay, right. Okay, so we have seen how a story like this, how it affected the Arizona fan base. Is that what we're headed to here?
I would venture a guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you would see the same level of
myopia
support for Herm Edwards and his staff as Sean Miller and his staff got. Different scenario. I get it. He'd been there a lot longer at that point. Certainly had won more games. Certainly a program with more prestige in the Tucson example. And I'm totally speculating on that. But I've seen comments already, just reading comments of people on the athletic stories that Doug Haller has written. Hey, big ASU fan here. If this is true, he's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, and that's I do agree with that as well, because if it was that brazen that he was taking pictures with recruits while knowing what he was doing was wrong, I'd be very disappointed in Herm, because I have been very glowing in what I believed his authenticity and his standards and his ethics were and what they mean in this era of grotesque head coaches in college football.
Well, if this is true, and yes, he did have, there's two sides of it. Did he have knowledge of it? Was he part of this institutional behavior?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not good. The other option isn't good either. As the CEO of ASU football, he's been called so many times as more of a hands-off coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you have to have knowledge of. If you're the CEO, it's got to trickle down from you. And if that's the case, that's equally as disappointing.
Yeah. Yes.
But
you know, Herm is also, how old is Herm now? 70?
67.
I think he's 67. Yeah.
There, I would not put it, and this is going to sound really Pollyanna, Herm is really the all-time delegator. You could not find a head coach in college football less hands-on than Herm Edwards, I believe. And that's by design.
And it's for a lot of reasons. I really want to believe that if all these allegations were true, that Herm maybe wasn't dialed in to much of it. And again, this, I know that sounds horribly Pollyanna. It really does.
But using, again, the Tucson and the U of A basketball example, Vic, how many times people suggest, well, Sean Miller didn't know. Book Richardson was a rogue coach acting on his own. And the attack on that was, how does Sean Miller, as the head coach of a program, not know?
Lack of institutional
control.
Thing. Yeah, it's the same thing.
You can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways. You're absolutely right. By the way, I was just hit up on Twitter by Nick McKellar, Sons and Four Guys' father.
Yeah?
Yeah. You want to hear what he said?
A celeb?
Yes. Quote, thank you and Vince for sticking up for my son, Nick. He is really a lover, not a fighter, as MJ used to say to his adoring music fans. Go Sons, Sons and Four Dad. By the way, happy Father's Day.
Nice.
I'm tweeting him back, telling him we need his son on our show. That's what I'm doing right
now.
We'll
start dogging him unless he comes on our
show. That's right. That's right.
Be careful.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't mean to just grind gears out of the ASU discussion, but, you know, Sons and Four Guys more important.
It's Friday. Mm-hmm. We're getting close to 1 o'clock goofy time.
Sons and Four Guy is going to be showered with love at Suns Arena. You know that. He's going to be signing
which is
prediction.
Way, which He's is way be better than yeah. being showered with beer.
Eager Edgar, right? Eager Edgar. Yeah, let's invite those yo-yos here.
No.
No, let's not do that.
Hey, celebrity boxing is all the rage again.
Mm-hmm.
What about a rematch?
Oh, I
sanctioned bout.
I don't think homie in Nuggets jersey wants any part of Sons and Four Guys.
And we
anymore.
Know his friend doesn't want any part of
no.
it either. Since
yeah, you know what? You brought that up, and that is such a great point. His friend... Talk about a cowardly cheese ball. His friend is getting pummeled, and dude wouldn't get within arm's length of the guy.
No.
Hey, man, I was trying, man. People were holding me back,
no,
dude.
I saw the video from 18 different angles. You did nothing of the sort. But you were right there with me in the parking lot yeah. talking smack.
And to think that those idiots went out into the parking lot and talked all that smack, did they think nobody taped it? I mean, it's just... They are like, really, they are like Beavis and Butthead.
That should be Devin Booker's next tweet.
Yeah.
A screenshot of Eager Edgar. Need man's info.
Yeah.
We got to find that
That's
guy.
Right.
That's who we
That's
really
right.
need to find. Coming up next, the fantasy football world is all abuzz about a guy who had to document his punishment for losing his league. We'll tell you about it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata,
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Here on the Bickley and Murata Show, we've got members of the show who have had to pay some penalties for losing sports
yeah.
wagers in the past. Who can forget the both of us on a stage in Scottsdale singing Aqua's Barbie Girl? Live in front of an
yeah,
audience.
I think everybody who heard it wished they could forget it.
I've been followed around by an evil clown for a day while having to wear a rival school's colors for mm-hmm. a full day because of some bad NCAA tournament picking. I've never played in a fantasy football league that has had like harsh penalties for the loser of the league. Have you?
No.
We don't. We tend to always just reward the winner. I kind of like it, but... The latest one that's gone viral
oh,
is this guy.
Unbelievable.
His name is Lee Sanderlin, and he lost his league, and the penalty for it was he had to spend a full day at a Waffle House
mm-hmm.
and just keep eating. The tweet thread is pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, and what he had to do is he had to spend, what, 24 hours at a Waffle House minus 1 hour for every waffle he was able to eat.
Yes.
So every waffle he was able to eat at Waffle House, he could take an hour off the time he had to spend there. And he chronicled this via Twitter, and he got two waffles into it, and he started feeling just terrible.
That's kind of on him, though, isn't it? Because all told, he was able to eat 9 waffles,
mm-hmm.
so he spent 15 hours at the Waffle House.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have brought this up. That doesn't sound all that taxing, does it?
No. No, if you've got your laptop and you got a good wireless connection, right? You could probably be fairly productive out of it. Now, I don't know if that penalty meant you went in there empty-handed like Jared Carlin coming to work.
I mean, he was able to document his entire stay, so he at least had a phone on him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm thinking, if I really don't want to spend...
You did hear that gratuitous shot I took at Jared, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. I thought that would get rousing laughter out of you.
It does.
Inside? You're like Kawhi Leonard, you're laughing on the inside?
No, because if it wasn't so sad and true, I would have laughed.
Well done.
If you really didn't want to spend the whole penalty, the whole 24 hours at the Waffle House, do you think you could just gorge yourself and do 24 waffles in a short amount of time?
No. I think I've got the same issue as this cat here. I like eating pancakes, but like four bites into them, they're just sitting in my stomach. And I just don't feel good.
Well, where else are they going to sit?
Yeah.
Soaking up all the moisture.
Yeah, you have no idea, Vinny. Yeah. So we ended up 15 hours in the Waffle House.
But he did a really good job of, like, some of the tweets. Hello, it is hour 7. Where we stand, 6 waffles consumed, 11 hours remain. Insides are in shambles, but 2 kind Mississippians came in and gave me some Rolaids. Shout out to those people. Your boy is in pain.
Yeah. So apparently when he tweeted out, I didn't know this. I only discovered this recently because you had mentioned to me that the great Clue Haywood on Twitter tweeted out about how he's got the ability to play songs in jukeboxes remotely. Right?
Oh, it's such fun when he gets on one of his Twitter threads where he's messing with people in bars at 6 o'clock, you know, in the all day drinking establishments at 6 in the morning.
Right.
Fantastic entertainment.
And the one that you pointed out to me was at one point in time in a St. Louis Cardinals bar, he played Here Come the Cubs or Go Cubs Go. Yeah. That's what it was. Go Cubs Go. Okay. So this dude who was at Waffle House, after he tweeted out that this is the last piece of waffle that stands between me and going home, somebody played Homeward Bound over the jukebox remotely. It's pretty good. It's bad enough to be dragged into a league, a work-related league. When you attach penalties to coming in last place, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it pretty much just ensures that I'm going to finish last. I also had to pay. Mm-hmm. It was another year. They tried to play a trick on me. My penalty was having to take the Wunderlich test. Do you remember this?
Vaguely, yeah.
And they videotaped me taking the Wunderlich test, and it backfired on them because it wasn't even the real Wunderlich test.
That's right.
It was something that they invented to make it even harder than what the Wunderlich test would be.
Uh-huh.
And I actually did pretty well.
That doesn't surprise me.
Was there a penalty for whoever finished last this past year?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean,
can't even remember how
there was one year.
Let's face it. Our station's fantasy football league is pretty weak.
I know.
It's after the draft that, I don't know, half of the people show up to actually participate in. Nobody ever talks about it again.
Right.
No.
I'm never invited, so.
Oh, Jesse, do you want my spot this year?
Yes, because I'm good and I actually pay
deeply
attention.
Deeply not interested. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That is not one of our strong suits. Mm-mm. You know what I mean?
Maybe we can push back this year.
There was one week I played Wolf, and like there were like 4 guys on his roster that were on bye weeks.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
You should have tried playing Pac-12 fantasy football last year.
Oh, how did you even do it? I'll bet you Luke Lipinski still won.
This is the year I won.
You're the pandemic champion.
Yeah, going into the last week, I couldn't even field a team because you can't get information on Pac-12 anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the teams are getting their games wiped out. I had like 3 players on the mm-hmm. roster and still won the championship. It's the emptiest championship ever.
Did you now the trophy that you get for that is what? What is that thing? Didn't you bring that in here once?
Yeah, it's the Jeff Van Rapphorst Trophy.
That's what it is.
It's a 1986 ASU Rose Bowl Coke bottle.
Yeah,
mounted
right.
on a trophy.
That's right.
Signed by the rapper
Jeff Van Rapphorst. Yes. Yeah. Okay, I get it. As far as the most amount of food I've ever consumed to the point of like, oh my, what did I do to myself? Fogo de Chao is just legendary in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Right.
Yes.
Yes. And it's one night I ate so much meat that I was not.
How much meat did you eat?
I felt like I was
almost prehistoric. I felt like a caveman. I felt like just more. It was just weird.
Just tearing it off
right.
with your teeth.
Yes. And, yeah. It took me to a primordial space that I don't quite remember being familiar with.
I've had two instances of that in my life, both for charity functions. Once I was asked to be a judge, the Fiesta Bowl put on a barbecue contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even making this up. I was at the same judge's table as William the Refrigerator Perry, who was sitting right across from me. I knew I was in trouble when the fridge tapped out. He said, I can't eat anymore. And I was still going.
What? That's something. Didn't Max Starks eat like a bunch of hot dogs on air here for some reason?
Did.
Remember
he
that?
Did he hit like 28? Something like that.
The other one was I was asked to do a steak eating contest.
Okay.
At a restaurant that I don't think is around anymore.
Medium well?
No. I don't think they took my preference on how I wanted to prepare. It was good.
Not. Probably not.
A steak is not something that should be eaten quickly. And they put these like 32-ounce steaks in front of you, and you had 10 minutes to eat as much as you could. I walked away from that barely. And I remember that night, I had a buddy's bachelor party I was supposed to go to, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, not a good idea. Oh, mom down for the count. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really not a good idea. Win tickets to the first Suns home Western Conference Finals game in over 10 years. Just text TICKET to 620-620 for your chance to score the hottest tickets in town. That's TICKET to 620-620. Social studies up. Straight ahead, it's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.